Millennial
Nostalgia Berry
Podcast with Herschel,
Jeffrey,
and Crunchy. And away we go.
So, to set the scene, August 2008, the eve of the Beijing Summer Olympics, I had been living in Shanghai from February to June, working at a daycare center with this evil fucking Taiwanese boss who was just cheating me and giving me a really shitty salary. And the the agents who had gotten me the job extricated me. So they basically set it up so I could break my contract and leave without having any repercussions. So
repercussions, sorry.
Thank you for correcting me. I have that coming so many times and then some. for the rest of the history of the tripod, I just have to suck those up.
You do.
Because the export-import ratio is definitely me fucking with people. So I spent the summer with my then-girlfriend. And before I left, I had already gotten a job working at a school that we all know very well.
Mm. Yeah.
So I came back late.
Except for the J.
Nice. I think it's called J Buddha International
J Buddha.
High School.
J O-Matic Division.
The O-Matic Division. That's
the
really good.
O-Matic Division.
So I was still-matic, and on my way back.
Still-matic.
And I was. I mean, people who've been to Shanghai know it very well. That fucking Pudong Terminal, and there was no one there. It was late at night. And you're just about to exit the baggage collection area, and there's that filter where you go into that hallway where there's people, taxis, you know, drivers waiting with signs. And they stopped me, and they opened up my duffel bag, and I had a CD book filled with CDs.
A CD book?
Yeah, this is 2008.
All right.
I had a book of CDs with a lot of mostly bootleg DVDs that I had bought in China the last time I had been living here.
Right.
And the last two were blowjob porn. they're called Blow Me Sandwich.
I know Blow Me Sandwich.
I think it was 8 and 10. Volume 8 and 10.
I think I know 8.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
It's a great one.
So there's like pictures on the DVDs of two girls' mouths and a cock.
Damn.
So there was a woman who's flipping through the CDs, and I'm just like, my heart is racing like insanely, and she gets to the DVDs and starts like looking at them carefully, and then she calls her manager over.
Jesus.
And her manager is a man. Yeah, it turned into a thing. And they're both like looking at them, like discussing them in Chinese. And at that time I speak no Chinese. Yeah. So I'm just like standing there just sweating bullets, waiting for the conclusion. Yeah. So finally they call over a third person who's like the person who they know who speaks English. And that person has to translate the manager's decision, which is basically, and her Chinese was terrible too. It was like, China, no sex movie. They wouldn't touch it themselves.
Right.
They made me take the CDs out of the sleeves and put them in the trash.
Of course.
Before they let me go.
Oh, I would have cried.
It was so mortifying. It was so mortifying. And then I took a taxi back to J Buddha Illmatic Division, and only to have the librarian, who we all know very well, Chris, to come and pick me up. And I think my heart was still beating by that time. But that's one of the most fucked up stories, kind of stories I've got.
And it's a story of reunions, and that's what we're talking about in today's episode: is reuniting with a person or place.
Yeah,
somewhere you grew up or had life experiences in, and then you come back, and that feeling of coming back to somewhere familiar.
Do you think the listeners already know that this is the physical reunion?
The tripod is united. The iron triangle is together once again.
The golden triangle.
The Bermuda Triangle.
I am Jamaican. Yeah. In the Caribbean. Yeah. So, yeah, this is my second time coming back to Shanghai since I moved to Shenzhen. And the feeling the first time I came back, it really reminded me of going back to my college town the first time I went, where it was like, this is a place I know, this is a place I had experiences in, and it was a weird feeling, almost nostalgic,
if you will.
It was,
if you will.
But one of the things that caught me is the big balls I always feel going back to somewhere that I'm familiar with. Like, I always go back there feeling like, I know this motherfucking place. I'm the man here.
Yeah.
Whether I was or not is irrelevant. But I feel like these people don't know me. These people are new.
Yeah.
I'm back in my old stopping grounds.
Yeah.
You need to fucking
upperclassman.
Yeah. I've been this. I've done
you don't know
this.
Shit, dude.
You don't know a goddamn thing. I'm here to teach y'all. Yeah.
Dude, that was like so. When I came back, so I was here in China 2009, and I went from Sichuan province to Shanghai, and Shanghai was in 2010, 2012, and I went back for like 8 months to try and figure out what I want to do with my life. I met Sherbert then, and then I was trying to get a job as a fucking farmer's goat salesman. Didn't work because it's hard as fuck. I'm actually certified to sell pharmaceutical sales.
Well, I could use some Viagra.
Well, we got a bunch.
Where's the hookup?
I got a bunch of jobs.
Where's the
right
hookup?
Here.
I was gonna say you're kind of a pharmaceutical salesman.
What do you mean, huh? I got some over the counter, muscle relaxers. But when I came back, I was taking our mutual friend of ours that we know. And I was like, yo, we got to go here and here and here, because obviously I fucking know this city.
Right.
So we went back the first day. We got a little bit messed up, a little bit too...
A little bit.
A couple Wednesdays ago we did that.
The weenest bit.
And we went. We did a 13 bar pub crawl.
In Shanghai, obviously.
All in Shanghai.
Really? You guys
taking a plane?
Yeah.
But it was 13 bars because it was it was during the Chinese New Year.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was...
I don't think I've told you guys this story. So we went to Dada, and again, we were very quote-unquote messed up. And there was this guy that was talking to him, and he was from England, and he was like, hey, man, like, I can't do it in English.
That was a nice try.
Jeffrey Dundee over here. Let's put another young girl trying on the body.
The bruv, yeah.
Bruv, that's better.
I don't know. He was like back in my city, we used to fucking shank people. Like, they're just talking shit to him, and he was like, and we were just like really happy. And he's like, sure, man, cool. So I was like, hey, man, do you want to go outside and wrestle? And he's like, yeah, bro, let's go. So he was just trying to be all fucking tough and stuff. And we wrestled outside of Dada. And like, I was like, all right, let's go. I picked him up with by his legs, because he, like a football style, just like picked him up, dropped him. And I'm like, all right, let's go again. Just like super happy.
Like, come on, it actually worked.
And he was getting super pissed. Like, I knew it was going to work. Like, he was much, he thought he was a tough guy, but like, we're big guys, like, it's,
yeah.
And I'm like, let's go again. So we did it like 3 or 4 more times, and he was just getting so frustrated, and me and the other guy were just like, hey, just fucking happy as fuck.
But that's what, like, I always hate is the guys who are from places that are quote unquote tough think by then default they're tougher than everybody
else.
You're not like
default tough,
like,
dude.
You said people from your city stab people. Have you stabbed somebody? Know that I'm not scared of you.
No,
you're regular. You're the same as me. Ain't neither one of us stab nobody.
Yeah,
but I have the opposite experience, because I'm from a place that people think is supposed to be tough, and I'm the opposite of that.
If people saw you right now, you look like the most white dad ever. His head on forward, he's got a sweater vest on with a cotton shirt.
My BC Boys backwards hat.
You have an undershirt on as well.
No, now you look like a white dad trying to relate to the kids. I'm going to get down to their level.
How do I reach these kids?
Let me rap with you kids right now.
What's going on the streets?
I know about all the issues you guys are dealing with.
Do you guys know about
sex?
Marijuana?
Drugs? I've been there.
Listen here, Mary Jane. Really bad.
Not all it's cracked up to be.
Speaking of crack.
When I was your age, I was getting myself into some tough situations.
Hell by the rear. One time, I kissed Mary Sue by the river, and we weren't married.
Mom and Pop were not happy about that one.
But that is, in Minneapolis, when I was in the 90s, there was a big influx of people from Chicago. I probably talked about this before. And those motherfuckers always thought they were so tough because they were from Chicago. Like I said, they moved up when they were like 7 years old. And then when they're 15, they're like, oh, no, I'm from Chicago, man. I'll beat your ass. It's like, no, you've been in Minneapolis as long as I have, man. You're not tough. If the reason you're tough is because of Chicago, you're not tough.
Hey, that's funny because I actually used to think that like back in the day, you know, before maybe like 23 or 4, before I kind of like knew like my other job, I kind of knew, I like kind of learned the understreets of things.
Understreets?
Wait.
Is that coined here first?
What was the other job?
This strip club.
You were a stripper?
No, you...
Oh, look at him! Fucking Magic Jeffrey over here.
I'm in real talk, yeah!
Where do you think you got those Usher abs from?
You fucking know that story.
Do I?
I don't think our audience knows.
Yeah, I think you should elaborate.
I worked at a strip club. At a strip club as a DJ for 4 years.
DJ Jazzy Jeff on the ones and twos.
DJ Jeffrey, yeah. And, I mean, you definitely get to see the underside of society, really. Mm. Like, that's like, you get to see the behind the scenes, which I really like. I think this was really... educational for me,
right.
Not only like in many ways, but you know, in funny ways as well. But in the more serious ways, it was definitely ways that I kind of like see like people are growing up, people like the struggle, people like
right,
like women who definitely they have these things about them that are inexplainable.
And like you see how someone ends up in that situation.
You can see it. Yeah, you can see how single moms get there. Like
right.
It is a joke, but it's not a joke.
It's a joke when you don't get to see it.
Yeah,
firsthand.
Like, oh, it's funny, but then like you're like, oh, okay.
Does that now ruin your experience in strip clubs? Because you've seen how the sausage is made, quote unquote.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it kind of like it's funny because like, you can see like it's like when you go to it's like if you were a pro poker player,
right?
And then you go and play poker with somebody who just sucks at it. Like you know behind the scenes, you know what's going on, you know like all the plays is going to be made. But then...
So you can't go to a strip club and just lose yourself?
No. I mean, I
because
know...
Because you've done it.
I know the game. I know what's happening. Yeah. I know what they're going to say. Like, right. They're going to say this. You're going to try and play this. And that's... I mean, I haven't been to a strip club in several years now, so...
But it's like a waiter going to a restaurant.
Right.
You know that they spit in your food. You know that... The cooks are talking shit about you.
They know what to do. They have the fucking the people tip them really well. Like they know the play. Like
well, it's like teaching is the big one I'm thinking now because we're all teachers. You know, for me, it's always made me reevaluate when I look at adults and children, especially adults. I've probably said this before, but my mom always says, I mean, those adults that are crazy, they were those crazy kids in your class. They grow up.
Yeah.
They don't. That's who they are. They, you know, they don't change, and it makes you look at people in a different way. So kind of the same way you're describing.
I feel like podcasting too. I think I listen to podcasts now differently,
right?
Because of what we're doing.
I would agree. I'm listening to like what equipment they're using and how they go through transition,
the dynamics of how they make choices. I'm like, oh yeah. I mean,
right.
You listen into it on two levels as an entertainment, but also as they're kind of our peers because we're all working in the same medium.
Well, I mean, it's even like just when you're playing basketball. Then when you watch in the NBA and then, you know, you try to adopt everything you're doing. I think we're deciding this applies to everything. Yeah.
Also, this thing over here, when I was like, you know, when I do this, it's the same thing as this.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you because we're talking about reunions now when you go to the strip club. Do you get like a nostalgic feeling like I do when I come to Shanghai?
I mean, I did.
But damn, I wish I was up there fucking choosing that song. This guy has no idea what he's doing.
That is,
you don't play Pony this early?
That is a hellish job. You don't know what it's like. It's like it's... So you have to play to the girls what they want to play. Like, if you don't play that, then you don't get tipped. Like, that's how that works.
Because they share their tips with you.
Yeah, and if some other girl wants to play the same song as some other girl that you've... like, she's been working there for years...
Seniority.
It's hard to not... You're like, hey, I'm sorry I do this, because then you just lose money that way. Like,
right.
It's a really weird...
So it's political.
It's political, but also...
pressure.
It's political, but also you're, like, dealing with people who are, like, not sane.
Right.
But they are sane, but also, like, they have a lot of, like, that job like takes a lot out of you. Like, right. You have to put on another mask. We talked about masks before.
Right.
You put on like several different masks to block whatever the fuck these people are saying to you. Like, you know that those customers there are just saying something like the worst, fucking raunchiest, terriblest shit.
And it's not like the most handsome, rich guys are coming in. Yeah.
Like, I heard all of that shit.
Because
like,
the one you were at was in St. Cloud, even, on top of it, right? Yeah.
It's not what does that mean?
Like, well, it's just like it's a smaller...
Not Minnesotans.
Well, it's a smaller, like, college town. It's not like it's the big like
a,
city.
It's like a strip club in a suburb.
Right.
In, like, a shitty suburb.
Right.
Not like a nice suburb.
So you're not getting like rich businessmen. You're getting truckers and you know
people passing by over delivery.
Nothing against truckers, but that's a pool of people that's much different than I don't know.
And their job will be obsolete within the decade.
Yeah, that's
which
kind
of sucks. It's going to destroy the American working force.
Really?
Yeah, but there's self-driving.
Not that many
shit.
People driving.
Is that a thing for real?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I didn't know that.
Elon Musk, they had one, they tested one about a year ago almost now.
Yeah.
And it works just fine?
Perfectly, yeah.
Plus, Amazon News has the resources.
They have the
drones, man.
FedEx and UPS has gone down because Amazon's getting into the shipping business.
Really?
They're just getting into everything.
Well, they're already doing drones. They've drones.
I feel like
they're doing drones.
Amazon is now like Rockefeller or Standard Oil. It's getting to that level.
I think it's actually been at that level longer than we realize.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like is it called the Gilded Era? Gilded Age.
Yeah.
The late 19th century.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
like we're living through that again.
That's what it was. Leonardo DiCaprio was just in the movie, famous book,
The Great Gatsby.
I mean, that's what that movie is about. Yeah. Is that like upper crust,
the height of capitalism,
exactly?
Height of income inequality,
right?
And we escaped to China.
We escaped to China.
Which surprisingly, like the Gini coefficient. You know what that is, right? GINI.
Yeah.
It's one of those like UN regulated international statistics that measures income inequality.
Okay.
So it's like when you get a report of a country's economy, you have GDP, GNP, per capita, all that stuff, and then one of them is called a Gini coefficient.
So it's to like filter out like that it's not like the GDP might be raising, but this also shows like it might only be with like 10% of the population.
And it's actually a very simple statistic to understand.
Right.
So basically, if the Gini coefficient is 1.0, that means one citizen controls all of the wealth.
Right.
And if the Gini coefficient is 0.0, every citizen in the country owns an equal amount of wealth.
Okay.
So the United States now is its highest Gini coefficient in the history of the statistic, which is somewhere in
with
the 0.7 range.
Right.
And surprisingly, China, which people would assume is higher than America, is actually lower.
I would agree.
So even though like all of the American news stories and documentaries about China always criticize China about income inequality, in fact, America's income inequality is significantly worse than China's is.
Well, I think because people... They don't realize how big the population is.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you go and do a documentary just about the migrant farmers in the middle of some shitty
province. Plus, there's a political, agenda, I think, with a lot of the coverage of China in America.
Oh, of course.
Because it's a scapegoat.
Of course, yeah.
It's
right,
a scapegoat.
Yeah.
But I also think, a lot of it is a brand new view on China. Because, like, now I live in a... Like, Shanghai is an old city, but Shenzhen is a brand new city.
Literally.
None of those people are from there. And all of the people Chinese people I work with all have similar stories. Their parents were poor from a small town. Yeah. They moved to Shenzhen. They made some money. And now they're middle class or upper middle class. Yeah. And now the kids are trying to be middle class. And that's like what an entire city is based off of. And a lot of the cities in China are like that.
This is one thing I wanted to talk about. Can I get into my anxieties about my upcoming trip?
No.
Fuck you.
On that note.
Anyway, back to what we're talking about.
Yeah. So,
by the way, This very special reunion episode is brought to you by Extra Joss Ginseng from Korea, active royal jelly with 7 vitamins.
And also Four Loko.
It says with 7 vitamin B.
Exactly.
I mean, I told you. It's a
B complex, I think is what we call it, yeah? And it's a new formula. From?
Formula. Thank you, Four Loko, our second sponsor.
Our real sponsor. The original sponsor.
The OG sponsor.
I believe our first two podcasts were recorded with Four Loko in hand.
It was.
Yeah, so.
Back to the fucking basics.
As to reunions and everything, it's nice to be with you guys, man.
So go ahead, Hirsch. what were you saying about
yeah, the, so your in upcoming a couple of days,
I have not been back to America in well over 2 years.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's exciting, though.
It is exciting. It's very exciting.
Can you get me... So, we talked about this Rumplemintz.
Rumplemintz. Yeah, you can get your fucking Rumplemintz.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Ugh.
I'll get you the Forluma.
That is Minnesota style.
I hate Rumplemintz.
I've never had it.
Oh my God, it's good.
I've had Jaeger. I've had Goldschlager, but I haven't had
Rumplemintz. It's a drink that will last you the entire year.
Are there Rumpel flakes in it? What makes it rumpled?
That's Goldschlager.
It's minty. It's like a...
Is it rumpled?
It tastes like it's spearmint gum vodka.
But it's...
No,
it's
not like vodka.
Throw up right now. No.
But it's 99 proof.
It tastes like... It tastes like a mint schnapps, except it's 100 proof. Gets you...
So you see why he actually likes it.
Schnapps is the key to the vault.
Gets you fucked up.
You gotta be careful with that schnapps.
Yeah, that's true. I've never had a good night while I drank Rumplemintz. They all ended with terrible stories.
I mean, great
podcast gold.
Yeah, but anyway, where are you picking this Rumplemintz up at?
I don't know. Where does one
at any Rumplemintz store?
I was trying to say back to you talking about going home.
I know. Any local hell?
Yeah, basically.
No, what happened was we were drinking earlier this week, me and Jeffrey, and we ran into this really interesting guy who wants to come on the podcast in the future. Half Trinidadian, half black.
Oh, that guy.
Grew up in South Carolina. Very interesting dude. Lived in New York
almost
for a
bunch of
years.
Almost got into a fist fight with our other friends.
Almost got into a fist fight with our other friends. But then we...
You guys are leaving me out of a lot of information
well,
here.
The podcast is happening. He was going to come on today, but you were like, nah, let's not have him today. And I think that's the best idea because he gets a little bit drunk and a little bit angry, so... Very good idea. Yeah,
well, yeah. Good choice for a couple of reasons.
Good choice.
I appreciate
good
that.
Choice.
Yeah. But so I was smoking a cigarette with this guy outside the bar, and Jeffrey was quelling the side effects of an overly drunk friend. Yeah. And I was talking to this guy.
A firefighter.
Because he had lived in New York, and we were trading war stories about living in New York. And I told him I was coming back, and he, like, did that thing that people do when they want to make a power move in a conversation, where they try to make you vulnerable.
Mm. What?
Where they, like, look you deep in your eyes. And he said to me, he's like, I can see it in your eyes. You're afraid.
Who the fuck does that?
Well, assholes. But he actually, I
can't. What's that a problem? That's a fucking dickhead move.
He was drunk. I was drunk.
Don't judge me in my eyes, you
dickheads. No judgments. No judgments here.
Never look at me in my eyes unless I've known you for at least a year.
Yeah, I don't know you. Have we hugged? Hell no. Have we hugged?
Fuck you. Prince trying to fuck me in the shower?
The fuck out of here.
Fuck out of here.
He was wearing a ballerina costume.
Yeah, he fucking was.
Sewed into a onesie.
I seen him.
But, no, he's like, I see it in your eyes. You're afraid. And,
You're afraid? He said that?
He said that.
Why didn't you tell me that?
He wasn't wrong.
We would have punched him.
I would have punched him. I know you would have, and I tried to not instigate conflict, so that's
Have you
why.
Seen this head? It's bulbous.
Yeah, just like the fish.
Like Bulbasaur.
And have you guys seen Blue Planet 2?
I've seen it.
There's this fish where the females go in hibernation and change gender and become a male and then challenge...
Parrotfish?
The leader. Yeah, I think that
there
might be it.
There's more species of animals that do that.
They just did a good job of filming it.
No, yeah,
and
yeah.
They change color, and their head becomes bulbous.
The reason why I said that is because, you know, that's like the argument things, that, like, Tell transgender you. People
is more
use.
Natural
like,
than
yeah,
you
it's
think.
Natural. It's like, yeah, but we're not fucking fished in the Arctic
Ocean.
We're
not fish. We're not fish.
Aren't we, though? We came from fish.
In a sense.
Yeah, kind of, I
sort
guess.
Sort of.
Jesus
Very,
fish, yeah.
And then the dolphins went back.
Hey, did you know?
They did that. Yeah.
What is okay for me? I'll keep being a mammal.
I think
but
this land thing is a bit much. Yeah.
This is not going to last.
Speaking of previous generations, Sherbert told me that about what 10,000 BC they found a
cheddar man.
They found a face of a person that had what black skin. Blue eyes,
Cheddar
curly
man.
Hair.
Cheddar Man.
Yep. Cheddar Man?
Yeah, Cheddar Man.
I fucking love Cheddar Man.
I prefer Emmentaler Man.
Do you know what he's talking about?
No, I don't.
I love Swiss Cheese Man.
Yeah.
I want to be enlightened. I don't know about
this.
They found some fossils that reconstructed a face of the ancestors of some early humans in Europe. And the reason they call it Cheddar Man is because it's the place in England, I think, where cheddar
Girl, got
was
that
created.
Cheddar Man.
And, the but cheddar the point man. Was that it's this... it's in Europe, and it's, they said it had this dark skin and this long hair and probably bluish eyes, and, you know, with all the Trump white supremacist stuff floating around the American news,
they don't know
shit.
They're
talking about how Europe is this, you know, it's the where the white man is from, and then no, if you actually do the research,
but it's physically impossible. If you think about, like back in the day before, like during Pangea, like the fucking sunshine is there.
I'm gonna stop you right there. You think the you think Steve Bannon believes in Pangea?
Yeah. Of course he does.
Isn't Bannon against Trump though now? I feel like he almost
he is
a good guy.
Every he's anti Trump, but he and anti white people are the best.
Yeah, that he's not.
That ain't never leaving.
No, he's not.
But it's physically impossible.
Sherbert's got a lovely new haircut.
Thanks.
She does.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Sherbert's looking really good right now.
I second that, even though I didn't notice. I haven't seen you in like months on months. Give me some credit.
Last time you saw me, I had longish hair with blonde.
I guess you did, yeah. I apologize.
Okay.
I'm an asshole.
Is that a bob? Is
it
called a bob?
This is a graduated bob. It's metrical.
So he graduated then.
He's so proud of his knowledge of female hair.
I am. I'm really proud of myself.
So proud.
I'm just gonna retire from this episode.
Go down on top. Well, so the reason I wanted to do this episode is because I was thinking about the way I felt coming back to Shanghai after leaving here. And the first time I came, it was a really good feeling. I felt really good, like I felt familiar.
Was it, though?
It was, actually. And then I just landed today, a couple hours ago, when I was taking the taxi over here. I was kind of having the opposite feeling, like, why the fuck did I come back to this place I already know? I've been here before, I could go everywhere else in the world, why am I coming back to Shanghai? We obviously know why I came back, but you get what I'm saying? Like, it was
Tripod drinks Four Loko.
But, we were kind of talking a couple episodes ago about Herschel going on this trip back home, and him, because he hasn't been back so long, not realizing how people are going to view him. Because I go back every summer, and people view me as like I'm doing this like amazing thing with my life.
Fucking right?
Yeah. And which I guess I was at first.
Did we talk about this already?
We did a little bit, but I want to get a little deeper into it. All right,
go.
Because one of my friends in Dallas, who I visited a while ago, he asked me what I was doing, how things were going. I was like, oh, you know, I work.
Same shit. Talking Chinese. No big deal.
Right. Watch movies. And he's like, bruh, everything you do is special. You live in China. Every time you wipe your ass, it's different than what I'm doing.
That's Chinese fucking toilet paper right there.
But it did make me reflect a little bit on like what I've done with my life and how people in America view me. And I'm kind of excited because I feel like you're going to get that more than you realize.
You are definitely going to get that.
Well, this, again, is the opposite of what this dude was telling me. Because he was like, he was on this trip where he
doesn't know shit, bro.
No, but I want to relay the feeling because I think it's gonna platform into my main point for this episode. I do feel like I've constructed something here. I think similar to you guys, which is we've created our identity based on the fact that we're living in China.
But
that's not true for all of us. So that's what I want to talk about.
Let me piggyback on that. The reason why I moved back here, because like my identity was in China. Like I knew China. Like going back in the States. When you go back to the States, like it's hard to get around. I don't want to pay all that much money for food. I want to fucking leave. I don't want to hear people talk about fucking baseball. I don't want to hear that shit. I want to fucking tune out all that. I want to take the fucking metro from here to there.
Yeah. There's a naivete you're allowed to have when you're living in China.
But hold on, I want you to speak on your head shaking, because I want to hear your perspective on this.
I mean, I think it's one of the dichotomies we have in the podcast, is I feel like my identity is as a wanderer, not specifically in China. Because, I mean, Shanghai is the longest place I've lived since I've lived overseas, and it's only been 2 years. I've lived in a new city every year the 5 years I've been overseas.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, I lived in Shenzhen I lived in Tianjin for a year, then I lived in Abu Dhabi for a year, then I lived in Shanghai for 2 years, and then now I'm in Shenzhen. Probably there for 2 years, and then I might go somewhere else.
Back to Shanghai.
Well, one thing I might be able to find common ground on you with, Crunchy, is that even though I've been in the same place, I've only felt like I've belonged to something when I started doing this podcast.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because this podcast has centered me in a way that I don't feel like, even though I've always been living in Shanghai, I always felt that Shanghai was an escape. Mm. Like I was afraid and right. I was running away from something. Whereas when we started doing this, I felt like I'm not running away anymore. This is just who I am. Right. And we're creating something together from this place. And I feel like when I go back home, the only thing that I'm a family man now. That's obviously a big thing. But in addition to that, the fact that we are doing this, that's the thing that allows me to look my friends in the eye back home and say, I'm just being me in China.
Well, I'm going to say my immediate response to that is that I feel the opposite, but also I do want to say that, like, because of this podcast, like, I mean, we've touched on very personal areas.
Yes.
And honestly, there's been podcasts that I'm just ashamed of, even now.
Same.
Like, you fucking know. The Marilyn Manson one is probably my worst one for me, but...
It's not like you cried or anything.
Yeah. Okay. It was fucking terrible, and it was
Did you ever cry when you were DJing at the strip club?
There was a time where Pony was just blasting the speakers, and you were just...
You just got choked up? You got choked up?
Nah.
I can't believe I'm playing this song again!
That was me growing in an opposite direction.
Brenda just had that baby, and now she's already back on the stage!
That was in a direction that I didn't want to go, and I went there, and I came back to who I am. That was it. We can talk about some stories later.
Yeah. When I think... But I also think a difference between... Especially you and me, Herschel, is I think less about that stuff than you do. And maybe it's because of how my friends react to me. But, like, I don't really care. And, like, if someone goes back to... Like, I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody back in the States. Whether, like, when I went to Las Vegas a couple years ago and I was meeting random people. I just whispered the fact I lived in China. And they were like, oh, my God, that's incredible. Right. Like, because... People in America, they think it's a risk to move from fucking Nebraska to Alabama. Yeah. You left to go to what, in their mind, is a communist country.
Right.
You develop a life there.
That's right.
You know? And for us, it's become so normalized, we don't realize how irregular it is for what we do.
You tell the same shit to someone who like lives in Europe, they're like, cool, man.
That's right.
Nice. That is so true.
That's, yes.
I had a French roommate years ago. Yeah.
I live in China. I'm like, oh, tight, man. It's cool.
Her parents came to visit, and they were talking to me, and the initial French reaction was, oh, it's an American who doesn't speak French. But then she told her parents, oh, he's studying Chinese. Immediately, I could see on their faces a change of judgment.
And
where they're like, okay, maybe you don't speak French, but you're one of those Americans who's living in another country trying to... Make a go
You're
out.
Doing what the Europeans do.
But yeah, doing exactly. Yeah. Reaching out to
that's
other
what I, That's what I like about being that's American and going abroad. Because, like...
We're honestly, one of the good ones.
We're much better than them. Fuck them. Like, you go back... I mean, we're not better than them, but, like... I mean, they definitely... Like, I like that they think that, like... They're like, whoa, how are you doing that? Like, it's not a fucking big deal. Like, if you were to move abroad yourself, you would be like, oh... Ah, it's nothing really. We got Sherpas. We have fucking WeChat. It's the same shit. You just have to learn Chinese. It's not a huge deal. Like,
I will say, I know I just said it. I guess in thinking about it a little more, I disagree with that slightly. Because there is, I remember when I first moved overseas, there's this graph they show some places, like the Peace Corps puts it out. It's a graph of like the emotions you go through living abroad,
yeah.
Where you start off and everything's exciting, and then you get to this the top of the hill where it's like, I just want to go home, I just want to eat a fucking piece of pizza,
right?
And then you get back down where it's like acceptance. And I think you do have to push through that first, and that's what all three of us were able to do. Because I mean, when I first moved to Tianjin, I was not happy for
Tianjin.
I was in Mianyang, by the way, so
but the audience who is not China familiar. Tianjin is a big city, but as far as comfort level for Westerners,
they have
doesn't compare.
Nevertheless, I
didn't
actually,
all day, right?
But like living in downtown Tianjin would be more like living in Shenzhen, where I am now. But I didn't live in downtown Tianjin. I lived in a
developmental
area.
Were you
living
in downtown Shenzhen right now?
Well, it took like that's true, but it took like an hour and a half subway ride to get from where I live to the downtown area of Tianjin. So I was like way the fuck out where it was like really Chinese and really Western. There was like three or four bars that kind of served their version of Western food. You know, like to get anything like home, it was a struggle. I don't know, because you moved to Shanghai first, but you traveled around China when you first came to China, so you kind of got all those experiences.
But I don't mean to derail, but I want to go back to that wanderer thing.
Yeah.
Because I really actually, surprisingly, I connect to that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm going to go in a weird direction here, but it will connect. So even though I have this personality where I make very safe decisions, and I tread a path, and I tend to stay on the path, and I'm very reticent to make a decision that disrupts my equilibrium. Mm. And that's why I've been able to stay in a single city for so many years. And yet, there is like a thing deep inside of me that I nurture. It's this kernel of, I think, that feeling that you are living more like actively, which is that wanderer personality, yeah, which I really do connect to. I'm not living it the way you are. Yeah. Like, 5 cities in 5 years. That's fucking epic.
4 cities in 5 years.
Whatever. But the point is still there. But, like, for me, it's like I've always been... when I first came here, that was the plan, kind of.
Right.
It was
You had the wanderer look. Mustache, long hair.
I do. But then...
Sweater vest.
It's not a sweater. It's a cardigan.
It is, I know.
It's not a vest. Killer boots, man.
I apologize for misrepresenting
your
sweater.
It's also Brooklyn Industries.
Of course
which it is. Which is ridiculous.
Pull over.
Hipster. Old school hipster. Park Slope. Like the worst kind.
What is it? North Face? Is it a North Face sweater?
It's a Uniqlo and a Brooklyn Industries. I got the lids. Lids. Like,
you got a lips hat?
Hipster fucking. Dang, what's dude. It called?
And this should tell y'all a lot about
her. Genuine merchandise.
Where all this shit come from.
47. I wish I could fit a lids hat. They didn't have a fucking headset.
Well, I probably bought a hat at Lids. I don't remember it's from Lids.
Are you XXL?
Fit a hat.
Can you not rock an XL?
Who wears
your head's not that anymore? Small.
Fitted hats are out. That's how I know you're...
That looks perfect on you.
Does it look good?
It actually looks way too good.
Perfect on you. Good? Oh, no, you look like, I'm about to give you that hat.
You look like the Asian dude on My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
How's the hat?
What?
How's the hat?
Hey, don't he look like Josh on My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend right now?
Yes.
I'm about to give you that hat.
Be honest.
I think it's yours.
It's already mine.
Exactly. Oh, you got a new hat. I'm going to hit
boom.
I'm going to go 2 hats for $22 in a couple weeks. That's your hat right now.
I just wanted to bring
it up. That's your hat.
Thanks, bud.
That's your hat.
Well, that's funny. But, I mean, I don't want to oversell the wandering thing, though, because I've met many people who are more wanderers than me, and I don't actively...
Don't sell yourself short.
I'm not selling myself short, but it's more just like...
He's got the De Niro face.
For me, it's been more of like a default thing. Like when I lived in Mankato when I was in college, I never lived in the same... Actually, all through my college career, I never lived in the same place more than 1 year.
Why?
I think a lot of expats can fucking relate to that.
I would agree. I think a lot of them can. My first year I played college football, which is something I want to get more
into
in a later podcast.
I knew that.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I played college football my freshman year.
Because we talked about that on the episode where it was the two of us.
Right.
The Madden episode. Yes.
What'd you play?
D-end. And then they moved me to
D-tackle.
You played
D-end? I knew all this.
I said, I'll get into
fuck,
it.
Dude?
I'm going to get into it more.
I fucking played D-end.
I know. Of course you did.
Fucking motherfucker. D-end is the best fucking role.
Oh, I loved it, but I didn't care for football.
Just swim move. That boom. Tack. The fucking sack.
Well, so I lived there my freshman year. Then my sophomore year, I moved to Mankato. I lived in the dorms for a year. Then I moved in with my best friends for a year. Then I lived by myself. I lived with another group of friends for a year. Then I lived by myself for a year. Yeah. And then I lived with just some random people for a year. Then I moved home back to Brooklyn Park.
So you have that drifter kind of mentality then.
Yeah, but it kind of came like, I don't know that I was always like that, because I was actually kind of always a homebody. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, I just realized being an expat that, man, I haven't ever really stayed somewhere
right
for very long.
No, I mean, you know? I mean, that sounds like you literally your entire life you haven't done that.
Right, and like I've been in China for most of my expat career, but I haven't been in the same place for very long. You know, I plan on staying in Shenzhen for another year.
Do you get that itch
to move?
Yeah.
No, but it's kind of like coming back to Shanghai. There is a certain, like when I got to Shenzhen this school year and I got off the plane and I didn't know where I was going. I'm randomly meeting the HR.
It's exciting.
There's a certain excitement to it. Yeah. It's nerve-wracking. It's really scary. You know, because you don't know what kind of apartment they're about to take you to. You don't know if you're meeting the right person.
What
you don't know
doing?
If you're looking for the
anything.
Yeah. It's nerve-wracking, but when I did it in Shenzhen, I kind of remembered that feeling and I realized I hadn't had it for a while and I really kind of missed it. I do like that feeling.
You're an addict, really.
Yeah, and I like being in a totally new place and like being able to kind of like, not reinvent myself, but reintroduce myself to a new group of people.
Yes. Excuse me while I introduce myself.
My name is Hove.
H-O-U-N-C-Y. Let's go. Tripod, Ponyo. I know you fucking got it. Let's go.
The reason I hit on the Wanderer point was
I
wasn't planning this for the podcast, but now that you just mentioned that word, it really hits home for me, the idea that to be affected by reunions, you need to have a healthy curiosity, which I think most people in the world don't nurture that part of themselves. Curiosity is a part of childhood, and it comes back to our big theme about nostalgia. Like, we are nostalgic for the height of your curiosity is when you're new to the world.
Right.
But when you travel, you're able to maintain that level of curiosity because you're encountering new things.
You're re-exciting that curiosity.
You're re-exciting the curiosity. And I think that we are doing that, maybe to a lesser extent, because I've kind of hedged, because I have that, like, safe Jewish instinct where I'm like, I want to protect myself. So even though I'm being curious and putting myself in a new situation, I'm still kind of trying to find a way to hedge the bet.
Right.
Being married, having kids, settling down, having a stable career.
But as my friend said, you're doing it in China, though.
But I'm doing it in China.
Like, you know, all of our friends are doing that back home.
Right.
But you're doing it in China.
That is true.
That adds a layer to everything.
And another thing, now that I psychoanalyze myself, maybe one of the reasons that I haven't really become fluent, like I had a family dinner a couple days ago. So I think, I don't know if I've mentioned on the podcast, you guys know I have an adopted Chinese family.
Oh. You're Jewish? I didn't know that.
Yeah, anyway, what was your meeting? Your dinner?
My dinner is steak, because I'm a man.
What was the fucking thing, dude?
But getting back to
this is not a stall, I'm just saying, in the future...
It's more of a nipple, really.
Jesus fucking Christ.
It's an adornment to my balls. It's like a star on a Christmas tree.
Anyway, you're having this fucking dinner, keep going.
It's
Herschel passed out for a second.
It's an accoutrement, if you will.
Sorry, Herschel blacked out for 1 second. I'm sorry, we'll be right back.
It's a little turtle head that
after these
meshes and kind of says, do you want to play with me?
No, it's not a turtle head, because I know you got circumcised.
Turtle
power?
No, turtle head is the circumcised.
A rabbi sucked on your wiener.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
That kills me.
So, after these breaks...
Am I wrong?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to take a quick break.
He's wrong.
And then we get back. I am actually curious to hear
PC Warrior. He's wrong.
We're going to take a quick commercial break from the latest book, Mein Kampf.
Chapter 12. We'll see y'all after this break, after these messages.
Four Loko.
Back in the game. Thanks for this fucking messages.
As I was saying, this is a historic moment on the podcast because Jeffrey has inherited a hat that was worn by Herschel for many a year. And it has changed hands. Because I don't meet a lot of people who have a head as big as I do.
Really?
Yeah, I have a substantial head.
You got mad head.
I got mad head. I'm heady.
Heady, no. I mean, like, this hat really...
I'm heady Lamar.
Heard that.
Podcast gold.
Podcast gold.
Podcast brown.
Oh, boy. Podcast brown for sure.
For sure. Don't you know?
What's up, Ray Charles?
Are we recording?
We're recording right now.
Very much
okay,
so.
Good. I'm out here. I hope that shit got caught. Flying gives me gas, man. I don't know why.
Gas Woo! Is nothing to be ashamed of.
It's not.
You know you found a good woman when you can fart in front of them.
But here's the
fact. I don't know, man. I can't fucking do that.
You like to keep the mystery?
I fart in front of my girlfriend all the time.
Constantly.
Constantly. It drives her crazy. It's one of the reasons why I know I need to not let her go, because she's okay with it.
Yeah. Put a ring in it, man.
Yeah.
Beyonce style.
Beyonce style.
If you farted, then you should have put a ring on it.
You know what's funny, though? It's true. But even then, I had to kick a kid out of my class because he kept farting.
Was it you? Was it you?
The worst thing for me is when I fart and the kids give me that look like, you're just one of us. You fart too.
But when I've ever farted, it's been more like, it's been one of them silent but deadly ones.
Yup.
And then I try to be like, Johnny, why would you do that?
Yep.
Hey, how's your class anyway?
My kids, man, they murdered it this last week. I was so happy with my kids.
I know you love the kids at JC Illmatic. Division.
Honestly, my last class that I had before I left Shanghai is probably my favorite class I've ever had in my entire teaching career, my entire 7 years of teaching, which isn't much, but I really liked that class a lot. I had really good personalities, but this is that class. Actually, I didn't like them, and then right after Christmas, we got back. It was like, sometimes you hit that point, I don't know if you get this in high school, but or middle school, actually. But
I'm doing middle school now, too.
I know, but like in the elementary, you get to this point where the first part of the year, you're just mad they're not like your last year's kids, because you're comparing them to the end of the last year. You're comparing them to the May kids. You're forgetting what they were like in October and November, and you're just frustrated. And then about January, February, March, you hit a new stride with them where they understand who you are, you understand who they are, and it's like, okay, now we know how to get things moving. Because, you know, I had a kid in my class who, even though all these parents are rich...
Cheersing you.
Yeah, just cheers it. All these parents are rich.
Cheersing a Joss fucking shop.
You know, like the mom was on a business trip for 2 weeks.
Boom!
So in that 2 weeks, I saw her son more than she saw him.
Yeah.
Like, you know... The way my schedule's set up, I have the kids for an hour, they go to specialists, back-to-back for 2 hours, and then I have them for the rest of the afternoon. I have them for 3.5
Definitely,
hours.
Definitely, that is a big difference. That's
a huge
good
difference.
Point. Good
yeah.
point. Different relationship.
Yeah, like I really get to know how those kids are. They really get to know me. Like, that's one of the reasons why people think I'm a good teacher. I don't think I'm a great teacher. I think I'm okay. But that's one of the reasons I'm good, because I think that's one thing I really latch on to.
Yeah.
The relationship with them. I really like getting to know who they are. I always have inside jokes with each kid.
Yeah, right.
I give them all nicknames. Like,
do you do the high five, like that one video?
Some kids, yes. Some kids, no. I know exactly what you're talking about. That's like one of those things they try to do in black schools. That's the kind of thing they always
That's cool, though. I like that.
Nah, it's cool. But like, that's the thing. I got that with the kids that like it, and I don't do it with the kids that don't like it. I figure out who those kids are. Because some kids don't like that stuff. They don't want to get that personal with you. And that's okay with me, too. You know, I don't mind if you hate me. I don't mind if you like me.
They don't want to do the fucking, like, the worm with you?
No. Some of them do. Some of them do.
So this is me taking the Wanderer thing to the Herschel superlative extreme.
Do it.
When I teach, part of the reason that I feel like this is a thing that's meant for me is I've always been able to create relationships in the short term, but only been able to really live in them because I know that it's a limited run.
Yeah, I was going
to
actually
and
ask
there's a safety to that that I feel like I've been sheltering myself in for a long time until, again, I'm going to say this podcast, because I really feel this podcast is the first time I see myself bonding with people where it's not something that has an end.
I will say, though, my girlfriend always said that is one thing about you that made you so respected within the school. You were able to build a relationship with the kids.
Like, you know, like, yeah. It's for you and me, it sounds easy. Because for me, it is, like, the thing I'm good at. It's trivial. But a lot of teachers don't do that. There's tons of, there's thousands of teachers around the world, maybe even millions, that isn't what they do. But that is the thing that makes kids remember you. That is the thing that makes kids actually learn things from you. Nobody wants to learn something from somebody they don't have a connection with. So making that connection, it's a big thing. It's the one part they don't teach.
Let me really flesh that out.
A really good point. That's a really
So what I'm really trying to say, I'm trying to fucking unfold the onion layers here. The core of it is I hate myself, and because of that, I externalize all of my love to other people. But it only has a shelf life of a certain period. And recently, again, because of this podcast, I feel like I'm breaking away from that. I'm finally able to build relationships that I feel like could last a lifetime.
Well, if it makes you feel better, man, I hate you too. Don't worry.
Well, I know
that. All right. Hey, sorry. Before we go on, can you sing me, I Got a Woman, Way Over Time. Days on me. Oh, yeah.
I'm wearing sunglasses because, you know, I'll watch Noriega do the drink champs.
I got them on.
Every time I see Rick Ross in the interview, he got sunglasses on. So I get it. Y'all can't see my eyes, but I see y'all eyes. So I feel like I got one up on you.
Do you see fear in them?
The fear I see in y'all eyes is immaculate.
Anyway, man. So that's actually what I was wondering about. Like, how do you build a relationship with people that's like so short? Like, because you only
because there's
do
safety
private.
In that. There's safety in that. Because I always want to protect myself.
You've known
from
my
long-term
students.
Relationships because my mother got sick and died. So I'm always afraid that people.
But
would
is
disappear.
That is that why you did this? Right.
So like, when I created my life, which I've created right now,
yeah.
Everything around me, I feel, is... Like, that's why you just said that word wanderer earlier in the podcast. And that's so connected with me. Because I feel like my whole life has been about escapism. Mm. This desire to flee from intimacy and permanency.
Mm.
And I really feel that's the theme of my life. And as I mature, as I'm now in my 30s, I'm starting... Just because of the two of you, genuinely, because of the two of you, I'm starting to... Because even with my wife, it's more about a survival thing. We're creating a family. It's a business arrangement. We love each other. The fact that it's real is because we have children. We have to make money. It's like pragmatic. So it's independent. Yeah. No, it's independent of emotional things. But with the two of you, there's nothing invested... I don't need the two of you to survive.
Yeah, you do.
I'm Well, that's true. That is true. That's
because I feel like that's actually what you're saying.
That's actually true. But survive in a real way. Survive in a meaningful way, as opposed to a survive in like a cowardly way.
So
where I'm just
We got that sweat equity, and you got that actual equity.
Yeah.
Money equity.
I didn't get it, but yeah.
But I got it. I got it.
Sweat equity.
Sweat equity.
Yeah.
Isn't it a Bitcoin reference?
No, it's not. It's when like when you have a business with somebody, like you either put money in or you put time in. Sweat equity.
I got you.
Money equity. Is that what you're saying, right? Is that,
yeah.
Like,
that's what I'm saying
though,
too. Yeah.
It's like,
am I getting that wrong or no?
No, you didn't say that wrong. I just didn't understand it first, but now I do.
I've heard you say that to me a couple of times about your relationship with your wife.
Yeah.
Whenever I see you guys interact, that's never the feeling I get, though.
I know.
Like, I feel like that's something you have trained yourself to think, but I feel like you guys actually love each other. I don't know. So when I hear you say that, I feel like it's you... I feel like... You're one of those people, and maybe listeners connect to this, that you create a narrative about yourself,
yes.
but you don't actually reflect on if that narrative
yes.
is real.
Yes.
So you're stuck in the narrative, yes. the fictional story about
yourself. I live in the narrative about myself.
Yeah, absolutely. You live in it. But
absolutely.
No, you live in it in your head. Yeah. But in your actual life, that's not how it actually exists. Because even though you're saying, I mean, you are kind of a wanderer in your job, but from what I understand what you do, it's not like you only see those kids once and then never see them again. I mean, you still have them for a whole school year at least.
Also, I have private students I've been with for 5 years.
But my point is, yeah, exactly. So, which is longer than what it would be if you were in
you're
an
right.
actual
you're
school.
Right.
So
right.
when you say that, I'm like, I don't know if I even agree with that.
Well, another thing is that this wanderer aspect actually gets to this sort of individualist, capitalist way of living that I was indoctrinated in. So when I grew up, my mother's family especially was Jewish, but like the kind of Jews that wanted to copy WASPs.
Yes, you've mentioned
that
Jews
before,
who
wanted to
They wanted to assimilate. Trying to stand out as Jews. They wanted to be recognized like everybody.
So I grew up with one of those families that like you didn't talk about money, you just had money.
Right.
So even in my 30s, like, this is, again, going back to my fears about going back home. Like, the reason I feel like I can go back home now is that I can fall back on the fact that I have a certain number that I know I made last year.
Right.
And that makes me feel like I'm worthy. Which I know, like, part of me knows that's bullshit. But the part of me that actually is talking to people, just, like, that's where I get my confidence from.
But, not for you, I guess... The thing I'd say to that, too, is, like, I mean, I guess people will know now if they listen. They don't know what the fuck you're making over here. You, like, people think I'm over here balling my ass off. And, yeah, I'm making more than I make back home. But I'm not, like, you know, I'm not taking trips that are super expensive. Yeah, I can go to Thailand, but it's because Thailand's a 2-hour flight.
Right.
As opposed to a 13-hour
flight.
It
sounds exotic.
It sounds exotic to y'all. Yeah. But for me, no, it's the same as, like, you go to Miami, I just go to Thailand. I ain't never been to Thailand. But that's what, you know, that's the example. I went to Malaysia for a week. That's why.
The last time I went home, 2.5 years ago, one of the things I could hang my hat on was I had been to Australia.
Right.
Whereas, if you go to Australia from China, it's like, it's a thing. But compared to going to Australia from America,
it's a way bigger thing.
Yeah, so it's like...
Well, because even from the fact that being in Shanghai specifically, you've met Australians.
Right, right.
Well, like,
and when I went to Australia, when I was in Sydney, I had a friend. When I was in Brisbane,
I had a friend.
Like a third-tier city in Australia.
I know at least... I could go to Australia and go to like 7 cities and know somebody in every city.
That's the fucking shit, man. Yeah. But
that's the thing that people in New York don't get. No, because for them to know an Australian...
Yeah.
Would blow their fucking mind.
That's right.
It'd be the one
right.
random guy.
That's right.
You ain't never going back home
that's
with
right.
him.
That's right.
You
that's
know.
Right. That's right.
You can afford that shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just funny. We have constructed lives for ourselves where we've been able to maintain a level of intimacy with our culture that is a privilege.
Because of the internet.
Because of the internet. Because straight up, because of the internet.
It's the only reason.
The only reason. And... yet, it's kind of like we can have our cake and eat it too.
Oh, that's exactly what it is. But that's why I think I get a little unnecessarily frustrated when people act like I'm doing something amazing. Because I'm like, no, I still... I knew when the Kendrick album came out. It wasn't like, because I was in China, I didn't know. I also saw the Grammys. I didn't. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
I know what happened in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I know I'm in China, but it's not like the world is cut off to me. I can do all the same things.
One more thing. Fuck the Eagles. Sorry. Go ahead.
Fuck Tom Brady.
Fuck Tom Brady, but still, fuck the Eagles, man.
LeBron in the NFL. I can't
he
hate
fucking
him
is.
I can't hate no more.
I'm
not a fan, but he's great.
I know.
But, you know, like...
But he's not in the Pantheon.
He's not in your Pantheon.
Not my
Pantheon.
Your Pantheon's got fucking Albert Einstein.
No, it doesn't.
And Britney Spears.
It has Britney Spears. Doesn't have Albert Einstein.
It's got Britney Spears.
Doesn't have Albert Einstein.
Justin Bieber.
No, it doesn't have Justin Bieber.
Isaac Newton in there.
Doesn't have either. No. It
Justin Timberlake is just an older version of Justin Bieber. Let's be real.
Justin Timberlake is a future inductee.
Yeah, let's be real. But he is Justin.
That's because I love Mirror.
He's got Scott Baio in there. What the fuck?
Yeah. Scott Baio is a maybe.
Yeah.
It's a soft maybe. Scott Baio is a soft maybe.
But yeah, that's the thing. It's not like because we live in China, we don't see Game of Thrones.
Exactly.
If anything, exactly. I see that shit before you saw it.
That's right.
You know, we're more engaged with it. I've actually become almost more engaged in some ways with American culture being overseas than I was back home. Out of necessity, because I want to stay current. I want to know what's going on.
That's right.
What's going on in the American culture right now?
Trump. Because
no matter
what podcast I listen to, comedy, sports, politics,
Trump is a fucking music.
Snowball of shit. Right now. Hold on. I want to talk about something. About American culture, like the 24-hour news cycle. The fucking guy who raped 150 girls was the doctor.
Bill Cosby?
For the
Olympic team.
That really fucking hit a nerve with me. Because this is one thing that we can all relate to. Because we have all been put in positions where we were responsible for taking care of young females. When I heard those stories.
Let's go. Podcast.
Cheers. Podcast.
Tripod, we're in the building together once again.
When I heard those stories, because I was listening to the video.
So what, I don't actually have no idea.
It's the guy who was like, he was the number one trainer of female gymnasts in the U.S. Olympic program.
Yeah.
Also worked for a university, and he was abusing girls for years, hundreds of girls, and he's got a lifetime sentence, like 300 years.
Well,
or
you saw the
ridiculous thing.
The viral video was the father of one of the children asking if he could have 5 minutes alone with him.
Yes.
And then the judge says no, and he says,
I had no idea
minutes.
About this.
And then he tried to rush them.
But the reason we can relate to that specifically is we've all been put in situations where we've been paid to be responsible to take care of young girls.
Yeah,
right. And the fact that someone was able to prioritize their, like, fucking weird, kinky, just wrong sexual fantasy over the responsibility of their job, of their profession, of like, acceptable society. That was so disgusting to me.
Yeah.
And it's because there are some crimes where it's like, it's a crazy person killing and eating people that I can't relate to. But this one really touched a nerve with me. Because I know that there are people like us who are decent men who get a bad name because one in a fucking million is a monster. And that's something that I want to stand up and just say.
Don't fuck little girl.
Don't fuck with your responsibility.
As a teacher,
yeah. as a person who's been given the honor
to mentor young minds.
Yeah. If you could even consider just prior, like, for, even
that's,
forget
that's fucking the Catholic faith right there. Like,
yes,
yeah. that's another example. I mean, that shouldn't be a fucking blemish on the faith, really. Like, but it is. Like, why? Like, it's not like. For that thing to happen, like, it's not like a one-time thing.
No.
It's a many-time thing.
Right. Like,
that's many-country thing.
Many-country, many-society, many-kind of jam. Like, that's not, like, they shouldn't fucking have that shit. Like, I mean, if Catholicism have this one belief or whatever, but they have these fuckers, many fuckers, that have this one, mode of conduct, MOB,
yeah.
Fucking whatever.
Modus operandi.
That's it. Here we go. Thank you.
Mob deep.
But they fucking have
that.
Like,
sorry.
That's clearly some kind of problem.
I'd say the difference for me, though, between those two comparisons, though, is like the Catholic Church, the reason that shit persists is because they don't allow priests to have sex with women. So they got a funnel.
It's an institutional.
Whereas, like, flaw. This coach of the Olympics, like, he could fuck all the girls he wants. He could be fucking a prostitute every night if
every
he wanted
night.
To.
Every
and
night.
He. But that's kind of the
oh,
point.
Hold on one second. No, I want to. Actually, I'm sorry to derail you.
Nah, you.
This is a word that I recently on a podcast learned is now
how
unacceptable.
Did an episode about reunion get to us talking about child pathology? Oh, I love it.
No, so I we're not supposed to be saying prostitute anymore. We're supposed to be saying sex worker. Apparently, prostitute is not a word that is acceptable in modern society anymore.
I don't believe there is a coalition of prostitutes out there.
There is. There is.
Protesting against
there the is. Use of the word there prostitute. Is. There's a podcast I listen to called Whiting Wongs, which...
Working Girls.
Hashtag. Is no, it's a Dan Harmon podcast with another writer from Rick and Morty, and it's a race and gender based the podcast.
Asian one.
Yeah, Jessica Wong.
Yeah,
and they talked about this recently that you're not supposed to say prostitute anymore.
Fuck that. Prostitute is not a
hooker. I'm sorry. Hooker.
You're supposed to say sex worker.
What's the difference?
Sex worker was way worse.
Yeah, it's not like prostitute has... Like, that is my problem with this fucking social justice warrior generation, is every group wants to find their version of nigger.
Yeah.
Prostitute is not the same as nigger. Fuck you! That's what you say. That's what they telling me. Get the fuck out of here. Prostitute is not y'all nigger. I'm gonna call you a prostitute, because for literally thousands of years, the word prostitute meant sex worker. You know... Nah, fuck that shit.
I wish I could say that about Kike. I wish I could say that with such emphatic energy that's my word. I want a word that I can say that other people can't say.
The fact you want that word, though, to me, is the problem. Why do you want a word?
Because I'm jealous.
That is one of the things why...
I'm a jealous man.
So I'm going to tell y'all a story about the word nigga, and it made me rethink.
Which episode did I say it? I know you said I said it.
I'm about to have a mad argument with you right now.
You said it when I announced that I was doing Nas Illmatic.
And what did I say?
You rapped the first definitely... line. The fuck Jay-Z, you bitch ass nigga. You been on my dick.
Nigga, you love my style. Because it fucking flows. I'm sorry.
So there was this one time, right? When I was living in Abu Dhabi, there was this one club that we all went to. And I was with my homegirl from Harlem. And she was super Afrocentric, very black power, very black, you know, black positive. That's why me and her got along. And... There's this Rich Homie Quan song called My Nigga. And the chorus goes, my nigga, my nigga, my nigga, my nigga. My nigga, my nigga, my nigga, my nigga. That's the whole chorus. That's all it is. It's just my nigga, my nigga, my nigga. I see Herbert over here. Exactly. I hear her bobbing her head to that shit over there. That's what the chorus is.
Listen to that.
You know that Rich Homie Quan song, right?
Which song?
My nigga, my nigga, my nigga, my nigga.
Gucci
Gang,
Gucci
Gang. It's the same
shit. Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang.
Nah, so anyway, so me and her are sitting there. We hear this song. We hear the song don't start with the chorus. It starts with a verse. We hear the verse come on, and me and her start talking like, oh shit, are people going to say it?
Of course you're going to say it.
Chorus comes on. Of course, the whole club erupts. My nigga, my nigga, my nigga, my nigga. And it's the first time I realized, I think like, but they're not saying, you nigger, you nigger. My dad got called a nigger when they was living in North Dakota. They go to baseball games, people say, hit the ball to the nigger. They call him a nigger. When we up in the club and everybody's talking about my nigga, my nigga, my nigga, they talking about my friend, my homie. They know that shit. So it don't have the same context that people 20 years ago grew up with. So the word nigga is interesting in that it's black people have, black culture is so popular worldwide.
It's influenced
so much of the planet.
China included.
Literally everywhere included. There's not a place you can think of that don't got a rapper in it.
Africa.
Everywhere got rappers in it. Fiji. That word is used constantly. So at some point, we got to realize they not calling us niggers no more. They're trying to, like you just said, you want to have your version of the word nigga.
Yeah, I do. So bad.
When you say it, you're not saying it because you think I'm inferior to you. Right. You're saying it because you think I'm superior to you. Yep. You actually think, you wish you were as cool enough to have a word that you couldn't say.
Because
like I said, I can say kike, and it don't got the same witnesses when I hear you say the word nigga.
A little bit, but...
Maybe. You're right.
It's a tripod.
You get my overall point.
It's like if you say the word chink, that's a bad word, really.
There was
but not. It's not an N word. Like, I would never say C word means cunt.
Gook is a terrible word.
I couldn't
but
say...
But not on the level. This between Americans. Between yes. Americans, the N word has something.
We've over-emphasized that word.
So, you're going to tell me, you see a Chinese person in America, call him a chink, and you're fine?
No. What I'm saying is...
If he's not a gangster.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Here's the difference. If I go on SNL, and I make a joke where I say the word chink...
That's the point.
It doesn't have...
That's the point.
The challenge of it.
There'll be like 0.01% of bloggers who are pissed at you.
Right.
Whereas...
You say nigger.
Alec Baldwin said the N-word...
Scarlett Johansson is protesting Alec Baldwin the next day.
51% of America.
I feel different. Okay.
And then 49% is... Ooh, they're Trump voters.
Right.
So, yeah.
No, like 30%.
30%. Don't need to
take a break.
All right, I'll take a break, but I've been fucking enjoying this.
On that word.
Well, I'll take a break and fucking
Jeffrey's a bitch.
Shut the fuck up.
Flip.
You're actually the chink, though.
Shut up, I know.
He is the chink.
You gook motherfucker.
Now, gook is Korean, I thought.
It is, but it's just...
I heard that gook was invented in the Korean War.
The first thing I learned was that I was a Blake.
Okay, so this is my question. I really feel that there's a dichotomy of human personalities, which is people who move towards safety and people who want to mine the vault of the underclass, the underbelly.
Right.
And I feel like that's what we're doing. The thing that unites the three of us is we come from such different places, and yet we're all, and again, that word curious. When you're curious, you want to scratch that itch. You want to tickle that part of you that is not whole. That thing that is curious, that is seeking something that is a conflict and yet is the opportunity for development.
Right.
An opportunity for progress. And when you meet someone who challenges you, you have two choices. It's that psychology thing of fight or flight. And I have attuned myself to the personality of you know, the teacher personality, the personality of trying to find a way to have harmony with people around you. And yet on this podcast, the reason I feel intimate and confident with the two of you is that I can say things that I'm being vulnerable. I'm saying things that might like I'm a kike. What does that mean? I can drop the N bomb and be accepted because we can talk about how I'm privileged and when I say it, it's different from the way fucking Crunchy says it, the way Jeffrey says fucking flip. Like, this is another thing.
I
feel like I can make racial jokes about Filipinos, but I can't make them about black people.
I know. I mean, there was two podcasts ago where we had Nate Johns on, and I was really trying to get Jeffrey to do a black voice, and he just refused to do it. And I was like, but you do Jewish voice all the time.
Because it's safe.
It's safer. Okay. But I think that's an interesting thing about the three of us is, like, we're both connected to the mainstream back where we're from, but also have always felt like outsiders. Like, for me, that's always been the frustrating thing about being mixed. And I always hear, especially black people who even accept me being black, always make fun of me for is, like, the mixed feeling of being, like...
You get that red bone, dude.
I'm a red bone. But it's like... I mean, I think that's why I've been, quote unquote, a wanderer. I haven't ever. People don't understand. I don't ever really feel like I fit in anywhere. Nowhere. That's why I identify as black, is because black people are kind of the people that accept me the most. You know, where white people are always like, they be different around me, you're black, blah, 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 blah. You know, where black people are just like, no, you're one of us. White people are like, you're kind of one of us, but. Not fully. You're like us, but not really.
So one thing, again, trying to find connection here. I do feel that there is a desire to connect with others who are different. And that is a positive instinct. Yeah. And I feel like most people encounter that instinct. Yeah. Like, Jeffrey, I look at you right now. I look in your eyes.
Yeah.
I know we're both American. I know we've both been raised in the same country.
I'm Canadian.
And yet, I know that there's something about you that is different from me. And I'm curious.
Right now.
And I'm curious about what makes you Canadian and Filipino that is different from what makes me Jewish and a New Yorker and whatever white I am.
I mean, you're right. I mean, like, honestly, if you think about like American, like it's just dude, American is a fucking mix. I don't understand, like, fucking dumbass America thinks it's like a not okay thing. Like it's definitely like a mix. The entire culture is a mixed jam. Like,
well, that's a positive way to take it, that we're a mixed jam. Like, I see you wearing that Yankees hat right now with your hoodie.
It's your fucking hat, and you're bastard.
No, it's not! No, it is yours forever. Don't ever put that on my head again. I'm going to come back rocking.
My hats are only straight flat.
No, it's not. You're a fucking New England college dude right now with your curved lids hat, and you got to own that. Because you're a fucking good-looking, half-Asian, fucking American dude. And you need to accept that that's who you are.
That's it.
I'm not disagreeing.
Just own it. Own that. That's fucking amazing. There's so much power in that. Being a fucking half-Asian American dude who can rock a Yankees hat and be a bro and at the same time have, like, I'm also...
Crushing it.
But I think that's kind of what we're talking about. It's how when you're not that, people see it as an advantage. But you don't feel like it's an advantage when that's who you are.
Right, right,
you know,
it's all relative.
Especially you being Jewish.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I'm white.
I know, but for me being half black and like the black influences I've had in my life, you being Jewish to me, I feel like you are.
I know.
You have the most advantages in the world, that way.
No, I do. I do. I'm white. I'm white. I'm white.
You're able to pass as white.
I'm white. No, I'm white. I'm white. And I just have to live in whiteness.
But this is why I say you pass as white, because it's kind of like me and my brother.
No, because
I'm like, this is why, because I'm light enough. But when someone finds out that I'm half black,
no,
they treat me differently. Exactly. I start getting they start talking jive and shit. Like, nah, motherfucker, just shake my head. You're gonna give me dap, you know, like. I know you want to argue it, because that's everything we're talking about. It's like, from our own perspective, we feel differently. But I do feel like that's something we connect on. It's like, you're able to pass as something. You could pass as Polish if you wanted to.
Yes, yes.
That's what you're saying.
Great example.
But somebody who wants a Polish person for their job example. And then finds out you're Jewish, like, they're going to start treating you differently.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like Jews are not held in regard around the world.
Okay, Okay, I want to connect all the fucking strands of this patchwork quilt.
Yeah.
We've got...
The AIDS quilt of...
of tripod pugnoness. So there's a white person who is Jewish and feels disconnected because they created a life in China. There's a half-white, half-Filipino. There's a half-black, half-Jamaican... And yet we all find a common thread in that desire to be curious about what else we can build our identity on. And the fact that you're desiring to continue to ask the question about who I am, that's something that separates us from the majority of people.
Right. Well, not even pose this question to you guys. I mean... My mixedness is the reason why I still have that question. Like, I'm just now in my life starting to come, like, become comfortable with how other people see me, you know? Because, like I said, when I first moved overseas, people don't identify me as black the way they do back in America.
Yes.
When I'm in America, people just, white people, black people, everybody just tells me I'm black. I didn't, I know some people see me and they don't get why I identify as black. Even you guys have asked me before. But it's because most of my life when I was living in America, people just told me that's who I was.
Yes.
I didn't make that decision. Yes. Right. They just told me you're one of us. Yes. I remember the day in elementary school in fifth grade where the black kids just started telling me, nah, you can say nigga. You're one of us. When we see you, we see us. And my white mom worked at my school.
Yes.
They knew who my mom was. Yeah, she was a white woman. Yeah. And they still told me you're one of us.
Yeah.
You know? So that's who I always identify with. That's just how I see myself.
So, the metaphor I'm trying to find here is like a candle wick that is never able to fully extinguish itself.
Right.
So it's like you have that burning flame where you are trying to find your identity in a mix of different racial understandings, and yet you chose, Crunchy, to complicate things even further by traveling. And I really feel... No, go.
Well, I actually say it simplified it for me.
Go for it.
Because I've realized...
Yes.
Right. In America, like you said, it's a racial thing.
Yes.
But realistically, everybody feels that way. There's people that are 100% German living in America who don't feel like they know who they are.
That's right.
I'm not the only one.
That's right.
I think that's... Because there's kind of a joke about light-skinned guys in the black community about... Especially mixed guys. Like, they don't get why we feel that way.
Real quickly... Do you identify as light-skinned, brother?
Of course. Okay. Of course. Whenever I hear jokes on Comic View about light-skinned dudes, that's who they're talking about me.
Sinbad!
They're talking about me. I am Sinbad. Now, I'm going to talk about my dad had red hair. I have red hair is when I grow my little random red hair short with my beard.
Crunchy's beard's looking right.
It's looking good, right?
At the moment.
I'll be fly out here. I gotta show these bitches what's up. Y'all ain't even know.
Meanwhile, fucking Herschel's all scruffy as a motherfucker right now.
Hey, listen, he's looking like a father right now.
Father with his cardigan.
Not a dad, not a big daddy. This is the father.
Brand new Uniqlo flannel up in this piece.
Your hair's a little flayed right now. Flayed. You're done changing a diaper.
A little layered. I had to wash the poop off my fingers earlier this evening, friends.
You just got done changing a diaper.
Just got done. But no.
And you changed a tampon because your wife had her period. You did it all. This motherfucker is on it.
Not to mention working hard for the family.
And grinding for the cash.
Trying to buy an imported car. But the thing that gets me, the thing that, I'm trying to fucking expose this conversation a bit.
Right.
I really feel the race conversation is actually a masquerade for what we're really talking about, which is we have reached a point in humanity where we are trying to confront the reality of understanding what identity is, and race is such a convenient conversation for sidestepping a more meaningful conversation, which is, listen, I'm one person with a microphone in front of me. I have two friends who I feel intimate and trust with right now, and I want to just expose who I really am, independent of my financial obligations, independent of my marital obligations. I'm just looking at two fucking friends right now who just know me as a member of the tripod. Mm.
Hey, boss, did you tell them what's up?
No.
I know for me, like, that's been... Because moving to Abu Dhabi was a big eye-opening experience for me because people just assumed I was Egyptian. They just, they didn't ask. They didn't know. It was about November when the Arabic teachers came up to me, one of the males. And they came up to me and they said, man, we just found out you were an Egyptian. This whole time... We had been talking to you in Egyptian Arabic because we thought you were Egyptian, and we thought you were just like a really like you just didn't want to talk to us. We thought you were an asshole. We thought you were a dick because you know they say hi to me in Arabic, or whatever. I was like, ah, yeah, whatever, yeah. Like, no,
we just assumed you, we just thought you were an asshole. You just hated all of us.
That's why
we're sorry.
When you said Wanderer, you guys, Crunchy, you have something on us because your experience as an expat is a bit more.
It's broader.
Yeah. It's broader. And like when you bring stories about how you're dealing with parents who are from the Arabic, you know, Muslim community, that just even the fact that it was just a year of your life.
Right.
That turns you into something more than a China expat.
Was
it? Because there are there are man children, and I count myself among them.
Thank you.
You're welcome, which is a person who was able to kind of pave over the weaknesses of my personality because I could find a niche in Chinese culture, whereas you are someone who is genuinely living the life of you're fucking in the world trying to throw yourself into new situations being who you are.
Yeah.
Like it's like two parallel worlds, which is you're exploring what Crunchy is, and at the same time, you're exploring what Crunchy means to different types of people.
Well, and I think that's the biggest lesson I learned being overseas, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do, is figure out what I mean to other people and how that affects what I think about myself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because like I said, Chinese people don't see me as black. When I try to tell them that that back in America I'm considered African American, they don't believe me. They don't think I'm right.
Get it.
Let's split that shit.
All right. Yeah. I don't have to. No, I'm fuck you. I'm going. So this is the thing. I'm going back to atheist shit here because this is something that brings me back to our dichotomy. Meet Crunchy and fucking Herschel right here. You are an atheist, and I am a nostalgic spiritualist.
You're an agnostic. You just don't know it yet.
Fair enough. I'll accept that. So I'm clinging to a Jewish childhood nostalgia about spirituality, whereas Crunchy, I think, is a step beyond me in the sense that he has already accepted the fact that he is an identity in the world encountering new experiences constantly. Mm. Whereas Herschel is someone who had that same instinct and yet chose to kind of find a cave. I'm going back to paleon fucking ontology level humanity. Whereas I found a cave. Humanity's experience is about finding safety. And I think when I look at Crunchy in the eyes, I see someone who is still clear-eyed, even though he's fucked up as a motherfucker
right now.
Up as a motherfucker. But I know every time he's on Skype, and even though I'm looking him in the eyes right now, I see a person who's every day waking up and questioning the basic fundamentalities of humanity, whereas Jeffrey and Herschel are kind of people who are like, yeah, we're a little bit settled. We're kind of kept men. Crunchy's the only one who's not a kept man.
Can we go and just make some trouble?
Yeah, I agree. I think we're getting to that point.
Herschel's making trouble on the podcast.
I will say I'm not a kept man, but I do think I've.
Herschel's a kept man.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I don't know.
But his wife lets him take Joss and just fuck off with his friends sometimes.
Hey, one of the great things.
You want to split this?
One of the great things about the tripod is that we all have really strong. Ladies, from women supporting us, and they allow us to do this shit.
Yeah,
honestly, nah, you good? Here we go. Yeah, the women behind us are amazing. Sherbert's amazing.
Oh yeah,
Miss Herschel's amazing.
Jesus, love you, podcast.
We love y'all. Y'all allow us to do this dumb shit that we do. And y'all listeners allow us to keep doing what we do. We appreciate y'all listening. This is the Tripod Ponyos, the Melinda Salisbury Podcast. You can check us out on iTunes, Shimalaya, all that shit. Anywhere else you get podcasts, we're trying to get up on
Google Play. We're working on that shit right now. You can hit us up on, I almost said Tinder, on Twitter.
Hit us up on Grindr.
At TripodPuggers.com, Instagram, millennial_nostalgiaberries_berries. Hit us up there. Our website is MMVPodcast.com. We got our own email, MMVPodcast1.com. Hit us up. We're starting up a WeChat group. We want y'all to... I would really like to hear people in Shanghai, especially's views on their race and coming overseas and how people view them. So hit us up there and let us know. We keep the conversation going. Again, we're on the Tripod Ponyos. This is Minnesota for the podcast. I'm Crunchy. I do it with two great friends, Herschel and Jeffrey. We're all together. And
boom!
Boom. We hope y'all enjoy us. Thanks for rocking with us.
I feel alive!
Feel alive as fuck. I hope y'all do too. Thanks for rocking with us. And we'll catch y'all on the flip side.